Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Team, join your life. We're going to do a song as a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Somebody know we're on. We're getting ready to go into this lesson.
God, for you. We see you on our Wondrous Word broadcast, radio broadcast. Thank you all for tuning in and sharing in with us as well. Amen. And for you here on campus tonight, truly, God has been good to us, and He's worthy of all of our praise. So we thank Him for that, and thank Him for each and every one of you. Let's see what God is saying to us tonight in our lesson. We've been dealing with the lesson about God's house and how, or should God's house lie in ruins, coming from Haggai. Amen. Yes, we are quite welcome anytime. That's what we are here for. Keep you up in prayer to our viewers. Amen. Let's go. We're in our second outline, Haggai is the application to the church. I think last time we was here, we dealt with it as what we face, similar tasks as to what was going on here. We want to go down to in our second outline, letter B. Haggai's message is very applicable. It's very applicable. Amen. Haggai's message, it applies to us. We can learn something out of it. Look what it says here in the beginning. It says that, welcome you all. Does the Lord's house lie in ruins while we run to our own homes? What is it that we have at our house so important? Yeah, starting off with a wow. What is it that we have that's so important that we've run to at home? Our own homes. God's house is messed up. We leave His house in shambles. We don't care much about how the house of God looks. What is it that we have so important, so precious, that we're just ready to run to it in our homes? What is it that's holding us, that has our attention, that actually have our minds? What is it so important in our homes? Because a lot of us, we run to our homes. Come on, I'll act like I'm in Kentucky Derby and just come on out the gate. Because we have something in our homes that we cherish, that's so valuable, that's so important to us, that we run to. In other words, we can't wait to get there. Mm-hmm. Come on. We can't wait to get there. We are so anxious. I'm ready to get home. I'm ready, we want to hurry up, God, to get to our special, whatever it is, in our home. What is it that's so important at our house, in our homes, that is not important in God's house? That God is not that important. See, a lot of times it may be your significant other. Come on. That you're running home to, that's so important for you. Your boo. Come on, your thug. Your baby. Your children. Something that's so important that we're ready to get out of the house of God. We want to rush the service. Come on. Yeah, we want to rush God's word. We want to rush the anointing just to get home to that game. It started at a certain time. Come on, what is it in your home that we're so quick to run to where God's house lies in ruins? Maybe it's those cocktails that we left sitting up on the bar. Come on, it might just be the chicken and beer. What is it that we have so important? It says, does the Lord's house lie in ruins while we run to our own homes? that's the question. What is so important that we're running to? Maybe it's that car you just got sitting in the driveway. You just want to look at it. Come on. What's in your bag, in other words? What is it that you got in your bag that's so important that you neglect the blessings of God? Because a lot of times, a lot of people, they really want to rush God. They want to make God their own bellhop. You move when I say you move. You do what I say you do when I want you to do it. We want to make him our bellhop, but God isn't a cosmic bellhop where he hops at you every beckon and call. Because guess what? If you're so much in a rush to get out of here to go to wherever you are to do whatever you want to do, why you expect God to jump when you say something, when you call it? You wanted me to hurry up with the anointing. You wanted the anointing to just come in and pass so I can go and fool off or do whatever I want to do, go to the beach. Come on, sit around the house and do nothing, literally do nothing. Go home, get on the phone, call everybody in the neighborhood, check and see what's going on over here, what's happening in your house over there. Do you know what's going on in my neighbor's house? We're so quick to get out of the house of God, to go into some foolish things in life. The Lord's house, the church, does lie in ruins if we allow, watch this, all other things to keep us from doing our part to evangelize the lost. While we are busy gossiping, we should be evangelizing those that are lost. We should be trying to encourage those that have strayed away. We should be trying to reach those that have fallen. Because how many of you know many have fallen by the wayside? And there are still people that's falling. Amen. We see you all. We thank you all for tuning in on radio broadcast. Those of you that's tuning in live, Facebook, and to those of you that's here on campus, we have to do our part. If we don't do our part, God's house will lie in ruin. Huh? There's many, many places that you can go to, and it seems as if nothing, there's no action, there's nothing, there's no life. And this is the house of God. Watch. Now, I was riding, actually, when I was coming Sunday morning, I was on my way here, coming from Tampa. We were on our way here, and as I was driving, the Lord just kind of had me to see my eyes to be arrested upon something on my drive. Back when they used to, how many of you remember those cars, Continentals, Mark 4s and Mark, you know, Mark 4, Mark 5, Mark 6, those Continentals they used to build. I was riding, actually rode by the factory on 75, the factory there, and not really knowing it because I hadn't driven that way many times, but the factory is closed. And the trees, the rubbish have grown up all around it. It's deserted. There's nothing there. There's no life there because you can tell there's no life there because of all the rubbish. Come just a little closer. You come into the house of God sometime, you find out that there's no life there because there's a lot of rubbish that have grown up around the house of God. There's no action. There's no life. Nothing is going on. It's been deserted. The Spirit of God is gone. And this is nothing but rubbish. Things are falling apart. You see where windows are broken. And you see where doors have fallen down. The roof has caved in. There's nothing. The letters are falling off the walls. And that's how it is when we go to God's house. If we're not doing our part in the kingdom of God, God's house will lie in ruins. And what happens when it lies in ruins? It will begin to deteriorate. Amen. Things will begin to fall off the walls, and things will begin to see the broken glass. You see all the rubbish around it. There's nothing there. It's just empty because we won't do our part. But if we do our part, you'll see a beautiful landscape around the place. Come on. You'll see things that when people come around, they'll say there's life there, there's something there, there's some operations going on there. And we ought to be in a place in our lives where we want operations in the kingdom of God. No one wants to be around dead things. Amen. So if we're not doing our part, what's happening to God's house, it is dying out if we don't do our part. If we allow other things to keep us from doing our part, we have to evangelize to the lost. We have to evangelize to the lost. We have to evangelize to the lost. Let me say that again. We got to catch this. We have to evangelize to the lost. Come on, we encourage one another. We encourage one another. We evangelize to the lost. We have to know how to reach them. And every now and then we get in a situation in our lives where we get down, where we need encouragement. Because guess what? We are already in the house of faith. The evangelism has already worked. So now I need what? Encouragement. I need to be lifted, uplifted. But when I go out there and know that there's love, I got to evangelize God's word to them, to reach them, to draw them. Evangelism means going out. We kind of got this thing mixed up and messed up. We want to evangelize to one another. In other words, we come in the house of God trying to outdo each other. My word's stronger than yours. But if your word was stronger than mine, I can tell by the souls that you won, that you reached, because it will show. How is it that we have so many people that got word, but no one is growing? Everybody want to give word to somebody. Everybody's so prophetic now. But no one is being healed, delivered, set free. No one is being saved. No one's lives have been changed. I was listening to something today, and the Lord, we always talking, because I'm always talking to him. Amen. I'm always talking to the Lord, so we're always in communication. We're talking. He's giving me things, and sometimes he gives me things by just sight, saying, look. That's what God would do sometimes, if we want some answers for some things, and we strolling down, I'm strolling down on the internet, YouTube, and things of that nature, strolling down. And he just says, look, watch this, and listen. Sometimes it takes us to listen as well as look. Good evening. We see you all still coming on, talking on. We thank God for y'all. We have to look as well as listen. And something really arrested my attention today. That never really arrested my attention, because guess what? We as preachers, we are all guilty of it. Amen. At some point in time in our lives, I'm guilty of it. But he quickened my spirit. He showed me something today that I didn't see before. Amen. Because a lot of times we seem as though, let me say it that way, that we put other preachers down. Yeah. It seems as though, when you really look at it, it seems as though what we do, we put preachers down that, watch this, that have made it on a high stage. Come on. But if we really realize some things and understand some things, everybody wasn't what at that stage when they began. Bishop T.D. Jakes wasn't where he was when he began. And a lot of time we use him in examples. I've used him in an example. But God really showed me something because there's a lot of churches, denominations I hear coming from a lot of denominations that strike against preachers that on that level. I understand this. God will give you pastors after his own heart. His own heart. He'll give you pastors after his own heart, right? Because of the technology today, you can see anybody you want to see through technology. But the thing is, understand, you know who your pastor is. Right? You should know who your pastor is if you are affiliated with a particular ministry. That's your pastor. You should know a pastor. There's nothing wrong. And sometimes we have to clarify some things. That's why God showed me. He said sometimes we have to be clarify things a little more. Where people can get an understanding. When we are saying certain things and we don't see it, where people can really understand it, we can get it in a different view. So we might got to make sure that we clarify our point or put our point across where people really can understand where we're coming from, where it won't seem as though that we're bashing the preacher. Because regardless of how you look at it, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. It's God's preacher. Amen? So when we say things about, you know, such and such, Bishop Jakes, and so for example, Bishop Jakes and all these other television preachers, you know, as if it's wrong or bad to be on television. Come on. There's nothing wrong with being on television. But when you say all these Facebook preachers, come on, pastors, Facebook pastors and preachers, you should be specific of what you're really saying. Because that's really bashing the man or woman of God. If we are not specific, we're just literally saying Facebook preachers, TV preachers, and they're not your pastor, but you're spending all your time watching them. Come on, y'all catching me now. You think just because you stay home and watch a TV preacher, The Bible does say, forsake not the assembling of coming together. I understand, but I'm trying to show us something here. That's still God's man, God's woman of God. And because God have given them the ability to be where they are, that's what they're reaching people that we may not be able to reach. So when you're trying to be specific about something, be specific about those that don't take the word of God serious, trying to pimp the word of God, trying to come on television and all these prophets and Facebook preachers and prophets, as we say, all these media preachers and prophets that we say that come on trying to pimp people for their own gain. Because sometimes God will allow us to certain avenues to share the word of God with people that's unable to be where you are. Not only that, there will come a time where we might need a word and just so happen to be flicking the channels or whatever the case may be, and God is literally speaking to us. That doesn't mean you don't know who your pastor is. Come on. It doesn't mean that. It means that, okay, for my prayers, God specifically gave me an answer right here. Not saying that he's going to give it to you from your man or your woman of God. Because he does that first. Because he gives you pastors after his own heart. And what happens when you get a word from somebody else is just confirmation of what your man or woman of God have already given you, because God has given it to them. We got to get to the point that still God's man, that's still God's woman. Regardless of whatever avenue that they use, radio, social media, television, whatever it is, it's still God's man. And watch this. If you're under the word, if you're sitting under the word, and you're paying attention, you're looking, listening, and taking in, you will know when a word does not fit your spirit. You will know. If that word doesn't fit your spirit, if that word is not for you, you will know that's not for me. But it's nothing wrong. Watch this. Was looking at somebody on television. But we make it seem as though it's so wrong. Why? Because we jealous that we're not on. We don't have the gathering or the following that everybody else that we're talking against has. What's the problem? Maybe God have you in an area where he want to use you. Maybe he knows if we was on stage of that particular nature, our head would be so big it would be all about us. God's house, watch this, I'm bringing it back around the corner, even though I may have looked like I went over the river and through the woods. But we got that. Huh? Even when we are too busy, what? Focusing on what's happening in social media with the preachers and pastors and television. We're so busy about them being on there. God's house is not in ruins because we're not doing our part. We're not doing our part in the kingdom. We're not evangelizing the lost. We're trying to kill God's man, God's woman. That's not what God's word is meant for us who carry the word to do. That's just real talk. That God showed me that. We're deserting his word. We're deserting. We're looking at putting people down. Like, look, listen to what they're saying. Like, oh God, I never saw that. I was guilty of it. Come on. Confession is good for the soul. God will reveal some things to you. There's nothing wrong, because guess what? You might want to be on television one day now, and since you're talking down on somebody that's on television, you get on television, what you going to do? If you want to support this ministry, sow a seed in this ministry, but now you don't want anybody to sow seed in somebody else's life. Come on. But I can tell you that if you're in an inner church and you're not sowing seed where you're going, but you're sowing seed outside of where you're going, you're wrong. Because you have someone that's a watchman of your soul. There's nothing wrong sowing seeds in other people's ministry. You need to make sure you're doing it in yours. You better make sure that you're giving the amount you're giving. You don't go anywhere else and give more than you don't give in your own home. If you're not giving it in your own home and you go somewhere else and stand in line and give it, something is wrong. And you have some folk that do that. And do those things. They will refuse to sow seed where they're going. But as soon as they hear somebody that's supposed to be famous, quote unquote, you want to go and jump down their throat. and give whatever. You give your last light bill, you give your rent, you give everything, because they come and tell you to give. If you give this, and a lot of times, once you give it, you're in a worse bind than you're in, because you're not listening to God. You're listening to your feelings. You're listening to your wants, your desires, your greed, in other words. Because all our lives are centered around, we want a whole lot of money. We want to prosper real fast. But we don't want to do what we need to do for that prosperity. And another one, we want to be seen. You just want to be seen. Want folk to see you while God's house lies in ruins. Neglect to do our part in edifying the body of Christ. We neglect to do our part. What is your part? What are you doing to help edify the body of Christ? A lot of times folks not doing anything because they're too busy home. Edifying whatever it is that they got at their own home. Your favorite show. Come on, I have a favorite one too. Come on. I have a favorite one too. Don't y'all bother me. Come on, y'all with the power on. You know? Come on. I love Empire. I love it. I love watching Empire. I love watching Greenleaf when it was airing. I don't know when it's going to come back on. Hope they come back on. It looked like it was getting ready to be real interesting. But a lot of times we put that before the Lord. God's house lying ruined. And we're going jumping in running at some drama stuff. We're ready for the drama. But don't want to get any deliverance. So we stay in the situations that we are in because we too busy running to drama. And folk are afraid of this deliverance. Afraid of being delivered. Afraid of being set free. At some point in time in your life, you should want change. Amen. You should want change at some point in time in your life. You should want better some point in time in your life. You should want to go higher. You should want to be developed a little more at some point in time in your life. You shouldn't always want to be the same. We've got to get holy and spiritual then. I've learned to be abound. I learned to be the faith. Whatever state I'm in, I'm fine with what I got. No, I'm not fine with what I got. I want more. I want everything that God has for me. I know there are some things that's held up. That still, as I say, in layaway. Come on, you talking about you are content with whatever state you're in. You're using the scriptures out of context. Because if we really go through the Word of God and understand the Word of God, He tells us, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, He never entered in the heart of man that what God has in store for those who love Him. Got some things in store. In other words, some things are in layaway. I need to get out. I need to get those things out of storage. So I ain't content with where I am when I know I got something else. When I know I got greater, I don't want to stay with better. I don't want to stay with greater when I know there's excellence. I need to go higher. I need to take this thing higher and higher. I want more. I want everything that God has for me. Are you with me? We're just too busy. I'm good. All I need is this little buggy. No, I need something better. I need something newer. Why we want to keep on riding around with something that's broke down? Everything falling apart. You're going to fix one thing, something else falls apart on you. I want something new. I want something that His mercies are new every morning. Why can't I have something new? God said, the Lord of God said, He wants us to prosper as our soul prosper. So a lot of us might not be prospering because our soul isn't prospering. That's why we're too busy crying late in the midnight hour, because our soul isn't prospering. We're not getting anything to fill our soul. So we get frustrated. Frustrated about things. You get discouraged because things are not going your way. You're running home, God's house is lying in ruins, but now you're getting frustrated when things don't go your way. Come on, we understand about frustration, though. You know, frustration is when things ain't operating the way you think they should operate, so you do crazy things. How many of you remember Mike Tyson? Y'all know Mike Tyson, y'all know Evander Holyfield. Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Remember when Mike Tyson was fighting Evander Holyfield? And they was in, Mike Tyson had like 39 knockouts. And he knocked folk out before he could get in the ring because he intimidated them. They looked at him, he already had them intimidated. But now here's Evander Holyfield. Gets in the ring with him, and Mike going round and round with Evander Holyfield. But one thing is not happening with Evander Holyfield that happened with 39 other guys. Evander Holyfield didn't go down. So what happens because he did not go down, and Mike was so used to knocking people out within the first round, things didn't go his way, so he began to get frustrated. He began to get frustrated because things wasn't going his way. He couldn't seem to get around, how am I going to knock this guy out so I win this fight? So he got so frustrated to the point where he bit his ear, piece of his ear off. They call that the bite fight now. That was the bite fight. He got so frustrated. That's what will happen when you get frustrated. You begin to do things because things are not working your way. That same thing that happened in the kingdom of God. We get frustrated and we start doing things that's against the will of God. Because we get frustrated. Frustration kicks in and now we're out of the will of God. We neglect to do our part. Whatever our abilities and opportunities. We have a responsibility in the building of the Lord's house. Whether you like it or not, you accepted it, you now have a responsibility in the building of the Lord's house. There are some things, and there's many opportunities for us. God has given you an ability in whatever area that He's given you an ability in, that He's opening up an opportunity for you to utilize your gift, your talent, and the abilities that you have. You have a responsibility for the Lord in building His kingdom. It may involve teaching, and it may involve serving. Let's look at it. Romans chapter number 12. I got scripture for you. Romans chapter number 12. I'm just slow dragging this thing tonight. Y'all don't mind if I just slow drag this tonight. We welcome you all once again on our Facebook Live, and those of you on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast, we thank God for you tonight as well. And you here on campus tonight, we thank God for you. Let's go to Romans chapter number 12, verse number 3. We already know at verse chapter number 12 and from the New Living Translation, I'm just going to start off with verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let Him be a living and holy sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is what it said in the New Living Translation, the kind that he will find acceptable. Give him what he finds acceptable. Don't give him no leftovers. Don't give him the stuff that you don't want. And a lot of time we give people things that we don't want. We don't, the old stuff. Now, you know, if you don't want it, why you want somebody to think somebody else wants something that you don't want? He wants you to be right. Give you all. In everything that you do, and he's saying, give it your all. Where it's acceptable to him. It's not acceptable to him when you do half a job. That's not acceptable. Watch this. It's not even acceptable when you go on your own job and you do half a job. It's not acceptable. They don't accept that. They tell you, no, that's not acceptable. And guess what? If you keep on doing a half job, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. Come on. Come on. So he wants you to give it your all. Be holy and acceptable, those things that are acceptable. In other words, he wants us to be holy because he's holy. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, what am I doing if I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice? God already knows there's some mess ups in you. He already knows there's some problems in you. He already knows there's some things in us. There's some sin in us. He already knows about that. But it said, look, my will to do his will. I'm presenting my body. I'm giving my body to you because guess what? I understand and know you can clean it up. So I'm presenting a living sacrifice. I'm opening up to you. So if you fill this body up with your spirit, it will be holy. If my desire is to do what's right and do what you want me to do in your kingdom, do my part. I'm presenting my body to you so you can use it. I want to live for you. I want to be holy for you. That's what I'm giving. Here's my body. I want to live for you. I want to do what you want me to do. Coming from my heart's desires. Because God knows you're not clean. Come on. He knows we're messed up. He knows that we are flesh. That's good. Oh, you got to be ready. If you're over exalting yourself with so much stuff, putting so much stuff in your body, he can't use you. I'm tired. Come on, how do you feel when you just finished eating? I'm tired. I'm just going to go over here and just sit on down. God can't use you because you won't give it your all. Well, let me get on up and do this here because they're going to bother me until I do something. You're going to go and do it, and you're not going to put your all into it. You got to be willing. That's what he wants us to do. He wanna use us. And he can't use us if we're breaking ourselves, our bodies down. If we're poisoning our bodies. Because guess what has to happen first? Now he has to perform a miracle. And that's only when you make up in your mind and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And commit to him and say, Lord, I want you to clean me up. Now, once you ask that and he does that, now he's expecting you, come on, to do your part. Why is it that every time God does does something for us. And a lot of times we find ourselves in situations, in precarious predicaments. And we so love the Lord when we're going through. We love Him. We're dedicated to Him because we need Him to pull us out of this and to pull us out of that. You can't keep you from the church. But as soon as God deliver you, as soon as God make a way for you, as soon as God bring you out, now all of a sudden you don't see you. What happened? Where you are? What's going on? You have forgot about all the promises you have promised the Lord. Well, Lord, you know, I'm in the flesh. You know, I get weak. You know, now you're coming up with all kind of excuses as to why you've gone back on your promise to Him, but you want God to keep His promise for you. You don't want God to go back on His promise, but we go back on our promise. We have a responsibility to present your bodies. Find the thing that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of the world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't follow the customs. Don't do what they do. Don't go along to get along, in other words. Don't do what they do. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God do it now. Let Him transform you by the way you think. Come on, because now you won't fall in the same trap. You know, we find out we're hanging around people a lot of time, we tend to do the same thing that they do. Oh, that's worth it for them. They're doing that thing like that. Maybe I need, but that's not how God intended for you to operate. Come on, that's why even in the kingdom of God, every program is not for everybody. Y'all ain't talking. Yeah, every program is not for everybody. Just because a program worked for them over there doesn't mean it's going to work for us over here or for them over there. Come on, if God doesn't direct it, if God doesn't give it to you, come on. We're pushed by greed. Tell the truth. We're pushed by greed. Prove it. Prove it, I share. Come on. Because you see a lot of folk that have these services called pack the pew. Okay, pack the pew. How did it begin? Someone had a pack the pew, came up, God gave them something, gave them a vision. And they said, pack the pew. And when they packed the pew, they probably, let's say, probably raised $20,000. They did over $20,000 in this service. Oh, we gonna go do that. So now you go and try to do a program, pack the pew, and you only get $50. And you don't even have a pew packed. Now you got frustrated now. Well, why everybody want to come back to pew here? God didn't give it to you. God didn't confirm it. God didn't direct it. Because everything that somebody does doesn't mean that it's fit for you. And he said, these things shall be added unto you. Yes.
That's a good revelation. God has given you. You know, he said, my house should be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. See, that's something that God, like I say, revelation, things God gives certain people. Give everybody, he gives revelation to whom he desired to give it to. Something that we didn't see, God showed her, child, you know, revealed with that. Look, you've turned it into a den of thieves. In other words, you made my house a money-making house. It's all about money. You're doing everything. You got 50 programs in a year. Because it's all about money to you. It's not about what? Souls being won. We don't care about souls being won as long as we're getting all the money to take care of our needs. We've turned it into a den of thieves. And I know everybody don't like this lesson tonight. But this is the lesson that folk need to get. We've turned it into a den of thieves. Because all is about. You come in with something, but you leave out broke. You come in broken, but leave out broker. Because now you come in broken looking for something to help you. But now manipulation kicks in. And because of manipulation, come on, we have to be careful what we do to God's people. Because we will be accountable for what we do to God's people. It may not happen right now, but somewhere down the line it will happen. God is going to hold us accountable. If we stand up here behind what we call this sacred desk and manipulate you as men and women of God, God will deal with us. Right. Our job is to what? As I say, teaching and serving is what we're given to. Our job is to teach and to serve. We're to teach. Why? Because if I stand up here and I teach you this word and watch, you receive it, then I don't have to manipulate you to get anything out of you. You'll be cheerful in your giving. You'll be cheerful in your giving. Come on. That's word. Look. He said, when you do this, don't copy the behavior of the custom of the world, but let God transform you into the person by changing the way you think. Only way God gonna change the way you think is if you get his word. If you're not getting the word, your training of mind and your thinking will not change if you don't get nothing in here to change it. And my job is to give you something in here to change the way you think when it comes to the kingdom of God. I got to give you his word. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God has something for you. He has a will for you that is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Not only that, when you understand that, you will see the prosperity in your life. Because if I don't prosper, he said, I want you to what? Prosper as your soul prosper. So I can't prosper if I don't understand what prosperity really is. Because now when I begin to prosper, because my soul is prospering, I really need to know how to handle my prospering. I got to know how to handle it. Because if I don't know how to handle it, if I begin to think of the customs of the world, as soon as I begin to prosper, I'll be broke the next day. Because now I'm out trying to please the world. I'm out trying to get everything that I think the world would like to see me in. That's why you see a lot of times when they begin to get a lot of things, when they begin to prosper, they go and get the cars doped up. They go and get the nice fancy rides and dope them up, because guess what? The world likes to see that. Man, that's blazing. They sure enough got a ride there. Look at the houses and the things that they have. Look at the clothes. Look at the jewelry that they have. Because I'm trying to please the world. I'm trying to be seen. My mind is custom to the things of the world. So the first thing I do, I go out to do something to let somebody know I got something. Look, I'm balling. I got it going on. Now what happens when folks see that? Because our eyes are focused on the customs of the world. Now we fall for it. Then we get our hearts broken because we fail for something that our eyes love to see and that we want. Oh, if I'm with him, I'm going to have a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to have everything because he got it going on. If I'm with her, man, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm going to have some pretty children. Because we're accustomed to the things of the world. I'm going to sure enough have me somebody that got something. I'm looking for somebody that got a whole lot of money. Now they end up beating you half to death, telling you what to do. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything, but that's the life you wanted because you was focused on the things of the world. And they showering you with all these gifts, all these things, but as soon as you get connected, you walk around with shades all the time. Because that's what you wanted. She's so fine, and you just had to get with her, so you're doing all this here to get with her. You buying her everything. Now you end up getting her and finding out that, hey, this was the wrong thing to do. Now I don't have nothing. Now as soon as things stop coming, she gone. Man, I done did all this. So I did that. And all of a sudden she turned around and she done left and went with somebody else who got something else. Because we go after the things of the world. Watch verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Just because you may have your name on broad light, just because you may think you have made it, don't think you are better than you really are. Because there's a lot of great folk that have fallen. There's a lot of rich folk that are broke. Don't think that you're better than you really are. A lot of time when people get something now, they think they're in, and they look down on you. You ain't in their class. Come on, you ain't on their level. Come on, you ain't in their circle. Come on, you're not with them. Come on, yeah. I'm educated. I got more education than you. You don't speak properly. I may not speak properly, but I sure enough have an anointing. God, showing up, having anointing on my life. And look, you talking about you so great and you so anointed that you can't even cast a flea off a dog. You go over there and start talking to the dog and more fleas jump on it. But you're so anointed. Just because you can sing, you might have a gift of singing, but when that anointing comes, I may not can sing like you, but I sure enough, when that anointing comes, I'm going to wipe the place out. Because I understand and know it's not about me, but it's about the Spirit of God that gives me the anointing, because the anointing destroys the yoke. That's why you don't have to go around trying to prove yourself to anybody when you know what you have. You don't need to go around trying to outdo everybody when you know what you have. I don't have to go out and try to outdo anybody or try to shine in front of anybody, because those that try to shine in front of folk be the ones that okay, I'm going to invite them. And when you're trying to impress people, your gift will make room for you. And see, that's where we go wrong, because we try to impress the people of the world. Yeah, we see Vegas is in the house tonight. Amen. Come on, we try to please the people from the world. Don't you think you are better than you really are? Just because you got something paid off, don't think you're better than you really are. Well, I don't have bills. Don't think you're better than you really are. You got money in the bank. Don't you think you're better than you really are? So just as sure as you got that in the bank, it can sure enough come out. Something can happen, as they say, in a Mississippi minute. You can be up right now and down the next minute. Jokers up in the stock market, they be up, next thing you know, they done crashed. Now they done lost everything that they done had, just like that. Say, don't you think you are better than you really are? Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. You got to be honest about yourself. Know that you got issues. Know that you got problems. Know that you got situations. Yeah, I'm messed up. Yeah, I don't have it all together, but I'm trying to get it together. That's why I'm presenting my body to the Lord as a living sacrifice, where He can use me to do what I need to do in His will. Be honest in your evaluation. Don't try to look at something that a word, when a word is being brought forth, you try to look at it for some, it's meant for somebody else. Come on, we're good. People are good. Oh, that word was for so-and-so. That word, so-and-so should have been here. You know, so-and-so should have been there, should have got that word. Oh, no, that ain't me. I don't do stuff like that now, but you do something. You're not clean all the way. Come on. We're not all the way clean. We got something somewhere down the line that we try to hide, that we don't want nobody to know nothing about. But when things come forth, it's always about somebody else. Be honest about your evaluation of yourself. You know you're a liar. Why are you trying to put it on somebody else? You know you're just trying to impress the pastor. Why are you just trying to put it on somebody else? Come on, you act one way around the pastor, you act one way around the bishop, but when you have the eyesight, Lord Jesus, help us, Holy Ghost. That's a whole new creature. Now, that's the part you say, I am a new creature. Yeah, you're a whole new creature when you're outside their sight. Come on, it's just like when you're outside mom and dad in them sight. You're a whole new creature. My child's so nice, my child's so sweet. Come on, we think they're sweet around you. No, my child won't do this, my child won't do that, my child ain't never been in trouble, my child won't do it, my child ain't never been to jail, my child, who knows what's going on when they're not in your sight? Then when things happen, we fall apart and don't want nobody to know about our child. Don't want nobody to know about what's going on in our lives. that we done messed up. We done got caught up in something. Don't want nobody to know about that, but we want folks to know about everybody else. Child, so-and-so child went down there, got in trouble. Child, so-and-so was over there. They got caught with another man, another woman over there. You want everybody to know about everybody else's information, but when it's time, when it hit home, when trouble hit home, we get quiet, don't want nobody to know nothing. Don't say a word. I'm talking about you. You're so humble. Come on. So I'm talking about you. You don't even know if that person is around. You're not on the myself. Now, okay, I don't know who that is. Because now we try to hide. We try to keep back. Come on, some people come in the house of God, try to get all the way in the back. Think discernment just happens up in the front. Come on. Some people really think, oh, the only way they can discern some stuff is I'm in the front. I'm going to sit way back in the back where they can't discern nothing about me. You don't know the Holy Spirit very well. You hadn't been in tune to the Holy Spirit very well. Don't you think you were better? What time we got here? About 15 minutes. Don't you think you are better than you really are? Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you, because everybody don't have the same measure of faith. There are different measures of faith. Your faith ain't strong as mine, because you give up if somebody look at you crazy. Come on. Somebody look, I ain't going back to that church, how they looking at me. I ain't going to work down there because they looking at me crazy. You don't have a strong measure of faith as the next person. Your measure may not be like that. Or some folks measure of faith, they can take a licking and keep on ticking. You can lie with them, they look at you like, oh, well, come on. Because one thing about it, when you have strong faith, when your faith, your measure is strong, when your measure is great, if somebody lie on you, you don't worry about it. Why? Because you know God is going to stop the mouth of the liar. The liar will not tarry in his sight. So you already know. I'm not worried about that because I serve a God who's going to take care of that for me. Everybody needs some medicine. You're going to get sick at one point in time in your life. Thanks, Pastor Gallup. You're going to get sick at one point in time in your life where you're going to need some medicine. And this word is a medicine for the soul. In other words, in the spiritual sense, you're going to have a situation. You're going to be involved in a situation where you're going to need the word of God to pull you out, to lift you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you. You're going to need some medicine. Just as we need to walk this face of the earth, we get sick sometimes. And watch this. Some medicines you can't take. Some medicines somebody is allergic to. Come on. I can't take that particular medicine, but I can take this. Everybody don't need the same dosage. Somebody may need a stronger dosage. You may be more crazier than the other person. And your dosage may need to be a whole lot stronger. Come on, look at it. Look at God working tonight. Come on, you can't take everything. Just to say, come on, let's go in the spiritual sense. Sharing with us, let's go in the spiritual sense. Some medicine some folk can't take. I can't give a baby the dosage that I give an adult. And what she said, some folk are still on milk. Come on, I can't give you a dosage of medicine that causes you, that says, because when you read the boxes, it says from such and such to 12, from children, it said children medicine, and you got adult medicines, the dosage and things are different, and you take half a pill or whatever the case may be. I can't go and give a child a dose, can't go and just start stuffing them with me, because they'll get worse, they'll get sick, they may even die. In other words, come on, let me come just a little closer. If a new convert come in and I give them so much word, they will die out because it's too much. They can't accept it. They will die out and they won't come back anymore because it's too much for them. We're too busy when we're going around witnessing. That's why I share and try to teach you all. When you're going evangelizing and witnessing, you can't go out there and try to give them the whole book. Come on, you can't go out there and give them the whole book. You got a word. The Lord told me to give you a word. You're trying to stay around them 2 hours. Yeah. They hadn't received anything that you said. You got to know the amount of dosage to give them. And you won't know the amount of dosage to give them unless you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Unless you are in tune with His word. It's just some things you don't go around and just start talking about in certain situations. Why you don't go to the hospital and start talking about foolishness when the person in there sick?
Yeah.
It's not the time to go in there and talk about what Sally Sue and Henry Lee did and everybody did around them, especially if they got some ties in them. You just talking. Their blood pressure already up. Won't go down and here you come making it worse because you're trying to kill them. You want them dead. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't go in there with all that foolishness. You would go in there and sit with them for a minute or two, for a little bit. Okay, I'm going to leave because I know you're not really getting the rest because the nurses keep coming in, whatever the case may be. But I don't want to be a burden and make your situation. I just come to check on you. Now you know, hey, I've done my part. I ain't coming in there trying to talk about what's going on in somebody else's house. I'm not coming in there trying just loud as I'm in a football stadium. Come on, there are certain things and certain ways you have to carry yourself. Certain things you have to do. Certain things you have to do. Just as our bodies have many members, have many parts, and each part has a special function. There are certain things. You got to know how to stay in your area, stay in your lane. Body have many parts. Each part have a special function. If I came around and I took this hand of mine, pretty good size hand, and if I came up here, up to you, and I came around like this and did that in your face, what is that? Somebody say slap. Because, you say it all the time. You ain't want to say it that time. Because it probably don't happen tonight. It probably don't happen tonight. If I took this hand and I came around all my might, it came right in your face, that's called a what? A slap. Huh? Because I did it with what? Now, if I took my feet or my foot, because they can do both of them at the same time, if I took my foot and I came around, yeah, in your face, what is that? That's a kick. I kicked you. I hit you or slapped you. If I hit you, it's with a balled fist. Open hand is a slap. I slapped you. Okay? Many parts. But each have special function. Mm-hmm. I can't slap you with my foot. Either way, guess what? You still the result. With you, you're going to be mad. That's the result. You're going to be mad, but But there was a different thing. Now, if I'm slapping, hitting, and kicking you, karate. Huh? Come on. Different functions. And guess what? If I slap you, hit you, or kick you, your whole body's going to feel the effect. It's going to feel it. Mm-hmm. You got different functions. In the church, in the body of Christ, there are many, many parts, many members. But each of you have different functions.
You can't.
The head cannot say to the head, I have the feet, I have no need of thee. The eyes to the head, I have no need of thee, cannot say it. I don't need you. Okay. You don't need me. If you shut your eyes and try walking, you're going to find out. Your head needs your eyes. Your feet need everything else in order for you to walk in the right direction. Come on, even those that have visual impartation, what? They got sticks. Because you need something. You need something. You need a part of the body to help, a member of the body to help function the whole body. So it is in the kingdom. We need one another. So it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts, one body, but we belong to each other. We belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us gifts for doing certain things well. He's given us some gifts to do certain things well, do it well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, come on, He's given us gifts. He's given us gifts. God still uses prophecy. There's still a prophetic word. God uses certain people to prophesy. He's given us gifts for certain things, to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. You call yourself prophesying to somebody, you sure enough better act like you know who God has given you. You speak out in faith. Look, if God has given you a word, you're taking God at His word, because sometimes God gives you a word for somebody you ain't never seen, and He gives you up there and start saying things, and okay, God, I believe it's coming for you. This is what you want me to say. So you got to do it with a strong faith and speak it like you know God is giving it to you. Come on. God uses me at times in prophecy. I don't go around talking about I'm a prophet, but I have the gift of prophecy. I don't have to be a prophet to use the gift, to have the gift of prophecy. Come on. If He's giving you this, I'm right here. God has, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. That is what He said. He's given us gifts. Prophecy is a gift from God. Huh? Come on, verse 7. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is in giving, huh? Say again. What did he say? Are you there? Are you so low? Let me speak Korean now. Because some folk don't believe that. among you, you have been given the gift of giving, give generously. You should love giving. If I'm going to give generously, I love doing this. Cheerfully. Nobody have to beg me. Nobody have to push me. Nobody have to ground those me. Nobody have to manipulate me. That's my gift. It's given. I'm a giver. So I give. It's a gift. It's a gift. And folks get upset by those that have the gift of giving. You get upset when somebody got a gift of giving. That's not your gift. It's not your gift. Because you don't give. Generous. You complain about giving. A person that have a gift in giving, they don't complain. Okay, give. Look, this is what you want. If I got it, I'm going to give it. If I don't have it, I can't give it. And when I give it, I'm going to give it cheerfully. I'm thanking God that I'm able to give. Oh, God, I can give something. I can give this. I'm grateful that I can give this. I don't allow nobody to put me down if I can't give. If I can't give it, I can't give it. And guess what? God's still going to bless me. Some folks will make you think you won't be blessed if you don't give certain things. You don't give this, you ain't going to be blessed. The devil is a lying you too.
Amen.
Come on, yeah. Let me say, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Take it seriously. If you want to be in leadership, God has given you that, take it seriously. In other words, if I'm in a leadership position, God has given me that, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make sure my area is right. My area is going to be on point. Because that's signs of a good leader. You say you're a leader, your stuff in shambles? Come on. You ought to be focusing on your gift. This is my area. I'm focusing on my area. So this is what I'm doing. So when I come in, my area is straight. My area is in order. I ain't worried about somebody else's area. Now, if they come ask me for some assistance, guess what? Because I got the giving spirit in me, I'm going to give them my time. I'm going to do what I need to do. And like I say, giving is not always monetary. Give in your time. Some people just need you to give in time. Volunteer doing some stuff. A lot of times we won't volunteer for nothing. If we ain't getting paid for it, I ain't going out there to volunteer for nothing. They got to pay me. You're not a giver. You're a taker. You always want. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. If that's your gift of showing kindness, do it gladly. We always brag on Sister Huff. She's a giver. She loves doing what she's doing. A gift of kindness. She's kind. She loves doing what she's doing here. You know, she even be on top of things when we go places. And next thing you know, they're coming up. I'm standing there talking about this from True Praise, Bishop Andre Wright. I'm looking at her. I said, boy, look at my hospitality. Look at, I'm telling you, just love with kindness. And people enjoy. Just look, watch this. Just little simple things. Not so big and so huge. Just some simple things that people. to really appreciate. He came in the other day and gave Bishop a mug. I'm talking about, he's like, oh man, this is nice. I'm just going to set that right here. It's so pretty, I ain't going to even drink out of it. You know, just kindness. Just kindness. Be kind. If he's giving you that, do it gladly. Be glad at what you do. Be glad at what you do. My mother, she loves doing what she do. Y'all love her doing what she do, too. Love her doing what she's doing too. She always take us out to eat. Come on. And don't care where it is. That's where you want to go. That's what you want to know. No problem. She's a giver. She do it gladly. Not to be impressive. Not to be impressive. Guess what? That's why she's blessed so. See, some things we ought to be able to learn. We should want to be givers. We should want to do things because it comes back. God blesses her. And I can brag on because that's my mom. God blesses her so. Because not just she does it for everybody. She do things for everybody. Sometimes we get upset because she do too much for folks. Like, Mom, no, come on, no, don't. Because people will try to take advantage of you. And as being protectors, as us being protectors, we're going to protect. But her heart is so wide. And God blesses her. Now, I think I got some brownie points, Mom. Don't give me some likes, Mama. Don't give me some likes. Don't hit the like button. Hit the like button. You see it. See it. No, but just. Yeah. But yeah, that's how it is, and that's how we should be. That's why I say, that's why a lot of stuff, you know, will fall down on you. The spirit will fall down on you. But I find myself also a giver. Don't mind giving. If I got it, I'll give it. If I can help you, I'll help you. If I can't, I tell you, I can't help you. And I do it gladly, not to try to go and take things back, but I do it gladly. And that's how we should be as a body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord God bless you. God keep you. Heaven smile upon you. We'll be back. Amen. Next week, we'll be back to continue on in this lesson. This is just a great lesson. And we thank God for all of you viewers tonight here with us on our Facebook Live. Also, those of you that tuned in tonight on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast, we thank God for you and for you here tonight on campus. God bless you. God keep you in heaven, smile upon you. And we're praying, amen, for our wife, Lady Wright. We keep her in prayer, keep the family in prayer and the passing of her mother. So we keep her in prayer as well, amen, as she prepared to get on this road in the morning. God bless you. God keep your heaven, smile upon you.